Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the University of Iowa's John Papa John Entrepreneurial Center and their National Science Foundation I-Corps Training Program, helping faculty, staff, and students make an impact with their innovations and research. More at iowajpec.org.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. This hour, two Iowa artists helping us see the world in new ways. Later in the hour, poet Jennifer Knox is crushing it. That's the name of her new poetry collection, and in it, you'll find poetry on subjects you've never thought of as poetic: cannibalism, heavy metal music, ADHD, and more. But first, Akwi Inji is a poet, storyteller, and artist. She is the founder of The Hook in Cedar Rapids, harnessing the power of words from page to stage, and she has just launched a new project. It's called Remoir. It's a mashup of the words remnants and memoir. She's helping people tell their stories through textile memoirs using fabric remnants they've saved over time. Inji was born in Iowa City, grew up in Cameroon, and is raising her daughters in Cedar Rapids. She's inviting people from all over the country to share their stories through Remoir, and she's on the line with me now. Hello, Akwi.
Hi, Charity. It's good to talk with you.
Well, it's wonderful to have you back on the show. And there are so many things that we can talk about. But I want to really dive into this new project that you've started, the idea of telling stories through textiles. Can you tell me where that idea came to you from?
Yeah, I throughout the pandemic, I've spent quite a lot of time revisiting an old passion of mine, which was creating textile art, and I hadn't revisited it in probably 12 years and was really restricted to what I had available to me as far as supplies at home, because it was still when stores were closed, everything was closed. And so I really looked around my house and started to reimagine some of the work that I could do with the supplies at hand. And over time, it quickly turned into recognizing that so many of us have fabric, have pieces of who we are represented in the fabric that's sitting around our house. Some of them are boxed up and we never intend to look at them, but we certainly keep them for its sentimental value. And so getting to the point where I wanted to really examine how as a country we can process who we are in this time through those remnants that we may have as sort of representations of our personal experiences was something that I was starting to develop as the concept in July and August, and really decided that it was something that I wanted to do around September. And I'm excited. I'm excited to launch it and thrilled at the possibilities of being able to use this as an opportunity to co-create in sort of a documentarian style through art, everyday people and the specific experiences that we have lived through that make up who we are. So often we get wrapped up in how we use our words and language as a way to connect, like on social media, and to try to help people understand who we are and in what we believe via social media platforms, and so much of who we actually are in real life. The revelations, the revelatory moments that we have about our friendships, about our homes, about our joys, those things often get sort of buried under, you know, under the heavy language that sort of takes over other things.
As an artist, what inspires you about fabric? What is it?
Yeah, I've really been interested in providing myself an opportunity to explore the natural elements of the fabric itself. So a satin, it moves very differently than a tweed, for instance, and being able to just honor the natural elements and movement and flow of the fabric, and how that combines symbolically to how we're experiencing life through pandemic. Are we fighting against it, or are we trying to flow through some of the parts of what makes this experience difficult? But then moving beyond that to really thinking about, for me, it was at a point where I was thinking more symbolically about the role of masks And again, in pandemic, absolutely something that is designed to protect us, something that is then essentially designed as a barrier between us and that which is potentially, you know, dangerous to our health. So I wanted to figure out how I could utilize that same medium fabric as a connector. How does that fabric that we use for masks, for instance, become something that is a connector and that transcends physical space? So again, thinking about the symbolic nature of physical distancing or social distancing, I tend to call it physical distancing, and trying to create a project that transcends geographical space, transcends physical space, to create opportunity for us to connect coast to coast through the stories that we're able to tell, both through words, but primarily through the textile art that'll come out of it.
Now, historically, of course, fabric has played such an important role mm-hmm. in our lives because we had to make our own things. Yeah. And so when I think about remnants being used mm-hmm. in art, I think about patchwork quilts and I think about rag rugs and how when typically women would sit down to do that work, they would encounter, you know, a piece of fabric from a favorite dress or something that brought back a memory. Is that the kind of experience you're trying to ignite in our modern world?
It is. It absolutely is. And I'm glad that you bring that up, because part of this process has been for me to just remember and remind myself of the cultural role that textiles have played, both as a sort of domestic element and as a cultural element, going back to the quilts of the African-American culture and tradition. And certainly not specific to African-American culture, but one of the books that I have been reminding myself of and reading through is called Double Stitch. And it is a book about the role that fabric and textiles and quilting has played in our culture over time, specifically between mothers and their daughters. And I have two daughters of my own. And frankly, traditionally, I have been somebody who sort of bristles at the traditionally feminine associations, like I'm not going to wash the dishes.
Right, don't pigeonhole
the laundry.
Me.
Right. Yes, and really through this pandemic and spending so much time at home with my daughters, I have embraced the opportunity to be more feminine, more compassionate, more, not that those things are necessarily feminine, but being able to just embrace elements of what traditionally and culturally it has meant to be a mother, it is meant to be a woman, and then reimagine what that looks like in contemporary times.
So as you have come up with this way of telling stories, can you give me an example of someone that you have connected with and pieces of fabric that you have collected from them and how this process works or how you envision this process mm-hmm. working?
Yeah. So I have, I think, gosh, already 9 or 10 packages that people have either sent to me or delivered to my door, each with fabrics and some with beads that, and along with the stories that they wanted to share with me about the role of those pieces in their lives. But the one that I want to start with, and I know my mom is listening, she's my groupie. She's the first one. She's the very first person that I shared this project with, this idea. And she immediately went home and started gathering fabric remnants and other things that reminded her of a family member of hers. And she, one of them was a bobber, like a fishing bobber. And as she was describing these pieces that she was collecting, in addition to the fabric remnants, I could already visualize certain ways that I could represent the story she was telling me about this person through the pieces that she was collecting and gathering. It's in a lot of ways, it's co-creation. It's co-laboring. It's co-remembering. And I would say that to a certain degree, I don't know what the finished product with any of these is going to look like without first knowing the story behind it. And that part, actually, I would say, has been a little bit intimidating for people, because a lot of folks don't think of themselves as creative. And so the moment that they're invited to think creatively, they start to seize up a little bit. And for me, that's maybe tertiary to the project, but it's always something that's important to me, is to help people understand that they are absolutely creative beings as well. And it's a collaborative process.
Now, you have spent so much of your life telling stories with words as a as a poet and as a storyteller, as a spoken word performer. You have embraced the power of words in so many ways. Are there words that accompany these textile stories?
Yeah, so my hope is that the textile stories will be the primary sort of representational element of the memory that's shared with me. But then in some cases, my hope is that the people who provide the remnants to me will give me permission to also perhaps write a poem or write some lyrical piece that accompanies that textile art. And then the written component would serve as a complement or in conversation with the textile art as an additional sort of representation of the memory. And that information would live together with the textile art on my on the website. My hope would be that the work would be exhibited as well, and with some of these textile narratives, alongside the textile narrative would be a poem that I've written to go along with it. Additionally, my hope is that, again, I'm able to be granted permission by some of these people to create audio recordings of conversations. And I think probably the thing that might be most familiar to people would be like a StoryCorps type concept, mm-hmm. you know, that I see just beautiful opportunity to sort of capture audio as well, and then have that live on our website too.
We're going to take a short break. We'll be back in just a moment. I'm talking with Akwi Ingi. She is a poet, a storyteller, and an artist. She's the founder of The Hook in Cedar Rapids, and she has just started a new project. It's called Remoir, Our Nation's Stories as Memoir in Textile Art. And we will talk more in just a moment. Also coming up in just about 15 minutes, I will talk with poet Jennifer Knox about her new collection, Crushing It. This is Talk of Iowa.
Support for IPR and this podcast comes from the University of Iowa's John Papa John Entrepreneurial Center and their National Science Foundation iCORE training program, helping faculty, staff, and students make an impact with their innovations and research. More at iowajpec.org.
It's Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio. I'm Charity Nebbe. My guest right now is Akwi Ingi. She is a poet. She's a storyteller. She's an artist. She's the founder of The Hook in Cedar Rapids, which has promoted storytelling in many different ways, much of it spoken word, over the last several years. And she's just launched a new project called Remoir. Now, that's a mashup of the words remnants and memoir. She is telling stories through textile memoir, textile art. And Akwi, just before the break, we were talking about what these projects, how this process will work. And give me an idea of what you imagine a final product might look like.
Yeah, so there's some examples of the work that I've been currently doing on the website, but I imagine these projects, the final product, to be of various sizes, incorporating a number of fabrics. I don't imagine that one remnant that somebody provides me will be enough for me to create one piece of art. So I'm going to probably have to supplement it with other pieces that seem, in my understanding of the story that's shared with me, to resonate and to work together with what I'm provided. But so the process would be, there's a link on my website where a person can go to that link that takes them to a form. They use that form to submit information about the remnant that they'll be sending via mail to me. And then I gather that information that they've provided to me via the form. I wait for the mail to arrive. And then I just start thinking about how to visually represent through tension, through texture, of course, through placement of the fabric on canvas. I tend to wrap canvas, but I also see this being an opportunity to create sort of flatter pieces than what I've currently been creating. So it's really just a lot of thinking about how the relationship between the remnants that I'm provided and the other pieces that I have in my studio will work together to tell the story that has been provided to me. And then for me, it's a lot of thinking about color combinations, the relationship, of course, between color. I mean, all of those visual elements that we think of with art, but a combination of colors. And for me, again, fabric provides this nice opportunity to play with tension, flow versus if you stretch a material, what that looks like. And so it's going to be a lot of guesswork here, probably in the first, the first few turns to really see how this plays out.
Who is the art for? I think about the remnants that I've saved, the things that I just couldn't part with, the baby clothes, or gosh, my daughter was in a pair of overalls that I wore in the 90s yesterday. That was, there are just those things that you just can't part with for whatever reason. And if you can't put them on a child, you just save them forever. Those are precious things. Those are things that would be hard for me to part with. So you're asking somebody to send you these remnants that are precious to them. Is the art for that person?
No. So first of all, you're right. I mean, there's something really sacred, I would say, about some of those pieces that we hold most dear that I would consider heirlooms. Like I say on my website, they need to be pieces that a person is ready to part with. And so that on the side of the person who's trying to decide what they might contribute to the project, it needs to be something that perhaps is sentimental, that reminds them of a family member or of an experience that was pivotal for them, made them laugh, that was an especially exciting adventure that they were on, but it's also something that they're ready to let go of. And so there's that fine line, I think, that I want to honor. I am not necessarily asking for people to send me the pieces in their lives that still have that value, that value that they're not ready to part with yet. I think one of the first things that came up in my direct messages after I sort of posted about this as a soft launch, trying to get a sense of what would be out there that people would be able to part with, maybe not surprising, I had several women message saying that they were ready to let go of the wedding dress of a marriage that they were perhaps not in any longer. And in that particular situation, it's somebody who's ready to release those memories, ready to release them and turn them into something else. And I'm really interested actually in what that could become. But the other side of that is, somebody messaged me, they had a particular t-shirt that has gotten ratty that they're not necessarily going to use anymore, but it was a t-shirt that they remember wearing on a specific trip. And they're able to tell me sort of what that specific trip meant to them. And this t-shirt happens to be the symbol that they're going to send me associated with that trip. So it's a little bit of both, right? Like I certainly wouldn't necessarily want somebody to feel like this is the project where they send me the nightgown that their firstborn was taken home from the hospital. But if they're ready to release that and it becomes a piece of art that somebody else, and I think this is sort of to the point that you're asking, who's the art for? It's for both the person who provides me with that remnant that is either a remnant that allows them to release some experience or honor some experience, but the finished product is essentially becomes a piece of art that anyone can purchase, and that story then lives on in a new home. And for me, that sort of abstract connection, that indirect connection, my story lives, I could be the one who purchases it potentially, but possibility of my story living in the home and heart of somebody else, that is appealing to me too. I want to be able to have an animated map of like where these pieces eventually land, whose story was incorporated into that piece, and where did that piece eventually end up. And I want to see this map of the United States with crisscross lines everywhere, because I think that's who we are. And then that speaks to that quilting element, right? Like the fabric and the textile and the interwoven experiences of who we are in our time and in our place, becoming very symbolic in where these pieces end up in the country, but also perhaps in the world.
You have invited people to get in touch with you and tell you about the remnants that they have and to share their stories with you. Do you have an idea of who you want to collaborate with? Are there specific, I guess, kinds of people that you mm-hmm. really want to connect with?
Yeah, I imagined that question would come up. And the answer is I don't have a sense of what kind of person I want to connect with. And that's been intentional. I don't want to carefully orchestrate this. I don't want to carefully choreograph it, because I think when we do that, we essentially leave out possibilities, right? Like I want somebody in some random town in New Mexico to catch wind of this project and decide that their story is worth telling. In fact, that's one of my concerns, is already I'm sensing that people don't think they've got a good enough, quote unquote, good enough story, right? And that's sort of the point, is we absolutely, history is a culmination of who we are in our everyday lives and in our relationships with each other and in our experiences, our everyday experiences. And if we can take a moment to recognize those tangible moments in our lives that have shaped us, and then trust that somebody can honor that moment through this process, like that speaks to me. Now, at the same time, I want to ensure that every single state is represented in this. Every state and territory is represented in this project. And so as the organic process occurs, where organically people are hearing about this project and organically are submitting remnants to it, at the same time, I will absolutely be working intentionally to close gaps, right? To figure out, okay, we don't have anything yet from Texas, or we don't have anything yet from California, or whatever, and really pushing to reach my connections throughout the entire country to ensure that there's representation, certainly from every state, and then from every walk of life. I mean, that's one of the things that I really have enjoyed in the ways that I've produced storytelling type experiences through The Hook, is being able to reach out to somebody who may not see themselves as in whatever way relevant, right? Their story is relevant to the human experience, and being able to say, nope, it is, you're relevant, and here's your chance for that story to be intertwined with the narrative.
I'm talking with Akwi Inji. She is an artist who lives and works in Cedar Rapids, and she's just launched a new project called Remoir, and she's telling stories, life stories, through textile art, textile memoirs. And Akwi, I know that so much of your work has focused on Black history as American history, mm-hmm. making sure that the stories that we haven't told are starting to be told. But as I'm listening mm-hmm. to you, I'm also hearing, maybe I'm reading into this too much, but we are such a divided country right now. Mm-hmm. And I'm sensing that maybe this project has grown out of a desire of yours to show us where we're all connected.
Yeah, it absolutely is. It gives me goosebumps from head to toe hearing you say that, because it is. It is absolutely born from a desire to remind ourselves and each other that despite our many differences, we are absolutely connected. Despite our disparate lives and lifestyles, we are absolutely unified in the fundamental truths of what it means to be human. And if nothing else, I want for this project to reach, you know, everyday people from all walks of life. And again, where I see that there are gaps, I'm going to work hard to fill those gaps with stories that are as representational as they can possibly be about who we are as a country.
I think a lot of people are feeling what you're feeling right now. I've seen a number of my friends express, you know, how do we come together? How do we remember that we are Americans and humans and that we have more in common than we don't have in common? Do you have any advice? Obviously, you have found a way to channel your energy. Do you have advice for anyone else about what to do with that yearning?
My goodness, extend grace, you know, to ourselves and each other. Try to remember that on the other side of that keyboard, I mean, we say it all the time and we don't practice it. On the other side of that keyboard is a human being with incredible experiences that we know nothing about. And I just wish that we could recalibrate our brains and our mindsets. And we absolutely have a whole lot of work to do as a country to make progress on some of the really significant issues that have emerged in the last 6 to 8 months or 12 months and that have been a part of who we are as a country. And at the same time, being able to sort of reset our minds to think of each other as multidimensional human beings, not one-dimensional, is something that I think we just have to start there, you know?
We are here in Iowa, of course, and just from my perspective, it feels like this urban-rural divide that we have here in the state is deeper and wider than it ever has been. And you can, you know, if you want to talk politics, which I don't, you know, you can see it. It's visible on any kind of an election map. And you have been an Iowan all your life, although you've also lived in Cameroon. You have a little broader perspective than a lot of us do. How do you think about being an Iowan in this moment and what we can do in this state to come together?
It's interesting. I was thinking about my family on my mom's side. We're from rural Iowa in Springville. And when I moved back here from Cameroon, we lived in Springville for many years. And so, you know, the rural community and people within the rural community, all of that is very familiar to me. At the same time, living in Cedar Rapids, second largest city in the state, is the other part of my life. And living here in Iowa, I think it's important that we work collectively to try to figure out how to better understand where we're coming from that urban lifestyle and the urban values, as well as the rural lifestyle and the rural values. And I don't know how that happens unless we start to sort of put down our shields and our swords a little bit and start to just have real conversations with each other. That's one of the things that seems just lacks on social media. Very few people, I should say, at least in my feed, is having really substantive conversations.
Yeah, it's not a good space for that.
Yeah, it's not. It's just not. The platform isn't designed for that, really. What it is designed for, you know, social media, we originally used it as a storytelling tool. It was originally used as a storytelling tool. If people looked back to their very first posts on Facebook, they would realize how much they were posting photos about their everyday lives and sharing those moments with their friends. And we just don't use it that way anymore. And so I think in Iowa, you know, we are in the heartland of the country. So often trends start off on the coast and eventually migrate their way here. And I think with a project like this, I'm personally a little bit tickled that the project is starting in Iowa and we get to expand from Iowa to each of the coasts. And in doing so, hopefully create an opportunity for people to be thoughtful. And even that I'm finding is sort of fascinating. It takes a little bit of work. People are like, oh, I gotta think through this a little bit. And it's just not something that our brains are really conditioned to do at this point.
Yeah. Well, if I'm sure that there are people listening right now who are getting excited about this project. So if somebody wants to tell you their story, if they have that remnant that they would love to share, how do people get in touch with you?
Yeah, so there are multiple ways because I want it to feel as accessible. I want it to be as accessible as possible. So there is a form on my website that they could fill out if they wanted to just jot down and write out notes about the memory or the story that they want to share with me. There's also my email address if they would prefer to email me and set up a time to have a phone conversation or a Zoom conversation, because I want this to be as accessible as possible. I don't want people to think, ugh, I don't know what to write. But if they feel like they can get on the phone with me or a Zoom call and just share with me, have a conversation with me about their piece, I would want that.
All right. Well, Akwi Ngie, thank you so much for talking with me today. And I'm tweeting out a link to your website. But of course, people can also search for the Remoir Project. It's like memoir, but it's spelled with an R. And they can find out all about it. Akwi, thank you so much for being here today. And I can't wait to see what comes of this.
Charity, thank you so much. I appreciate the chance to talk about it.
Akwi Ngie of Cedar Rapids. This is Talk of Iowa from Iowa Public Radio.